All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 48. It begins here, and he says, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and come forth out of the waters of Judah." This is the Lord's word to his people in Israel. You remember, we've been seeing how the Lord was sending them into Babylon to chasten them, to correct those that were truly his elect. And this is his word to them. And he says, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. All in Israel call themselves the name of Israel." You know, everybody in Christianity calls themselves Christians. All in Israel claim to be redeemed by the Lord. They all claim to come out of the waters of Judah. Everybody that claims to believe Christ claims that they were redeemed by the Lord. They all swore by the name of Israel and stayed upon their God and zealous for him, making mention of him. But the Lord said, "Most in Israel did so, but it was not in truth or in righteousness." It wasn't from the heart. It wasn't from a new heart that he gave. When God's true saints hear that, and we hear the Lord say this to Israel, we say, "Lord, is it I? Is that me?" You remember when the Lord said that one of his apostles will betray him, those that were his true apostles, each one said, "Lord, is it I? Is it me?" Because God's saints see in ourselves, that could easily be us. And we ask the Lord continually, "Lord, do I really know you? Am I yours in truth and in righteousness?" Don't you find yourself asking the Lord that? Verse 3, God says, now this is important, watch this. He said, "I've declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass." You know, that's how God does everything that comes to pass. He determined everything about the salvation of his people in eternity from the beginning. He determined the end from the beginnings. "I declared the former things from the beginning." And then he began declaring it from the beginning of time how he would save his people. He said, "They went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them." Right there in the garden, God slew a lamb. Instead of slaying Adam and Eve, he slew a lamb in their place and covered their nakedness with the skins of that lamb. He said, "I showed it from the beginning." He declared in Genesis 3:15 that the Lord Jesus is the seed of woman who would bruise the serpent's head, deliver his people. And then he showed it. He showed it in Abel's lamb. He showed it in all the types and shadows of the Old Testament. He kept showing and showing and showing, "This is how I'm going to save my people throughout the ages." And then he said, "I did them suddenly and they came to pass." Then one day he'd been showing, declaring it from the beginning, "I'm going to save in my Son, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God." And then one day suddenly Christ came and he did it. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. And then suddenly, one day, you heard it. You heard it being declared, and you heard it being preached. And then one day, suddenly, because your sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, "Abba, Father." Wherefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. You begin to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God declared it from the beginning, from eternity. Then he started declaring it from the beginning of time. He showed it in all the pictures and type. He showed it to us in the gospel. He preached it to us in the gospel. And one day suddenly he entered the heart, made you know, "I've done it all." That's how the Lord does everything that comes to pass. Why did God choose to save his people this way? What made God determine and purpose everything he would do in salvation from eternity, show it all in those pictures and types and preach it through the gospel, and then Christ come forth and accomplish it, and then he reveal it in his people. Divine revelation. He reveals it in us. Why? Why did he do it this way? Verse 4. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou should say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. That was her. See all this? Will you not declare it? He said, will you not declare God is true and every man a liar? You've seen it now. Will you not declare salvation of the Lord apart from any works of man? God's people will. He said, I've showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They're created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou should say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open. For I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously and was called a transgressor from the womb. God saves the way he saves, choosing his people in eternity. Christ entering suretyship to be the surety of the covenant for his people. He declared through the preaching of the word, showing it in all the shadows and types, and through the gospel that's been preached since Christ came. And he saves through this gospel, revealing it in our hearts. For this reason right here, God said, because I knew. He said, I knew that every sinner fallen is a transgressor from the womb. I knew. He said, if I didn't do it this way, you'd praise yourself. That's what he's saying. This is the knowledge of God we're looking at right here. He said, I knew. I knew. Before time, God determined the end from the beginning. And here's why he did it. Verse 4, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. God, he didn't choose his elect based on any good or evil in us. And he didn't pass by Esau based on any good or evil in Esau. He did it simply because he would. He did it simply because he would. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The sinner that he chose that saved, we're saved entirely by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be a righteous work. And sinners that are condemned are condemned because the wages of sin is death. Men earn condemnation. But as far as God determining the end from the beginning, choosing whom he would, passing by whom he would, God didn't base that on us at all. He did it because he would. But that still doesn't change the fact that God knew from the beginning every sinner would fall in Adam. He knew. He said, I knew you were going to be obstinate and self-willed and treacherous. I knew it. Why? How did he know it? Because it was his purpose. Christ, we read about how he chose his people in Christ, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Why did he do that in eternity? Because he purposed we would fall and Christ would come forth and be the Savior and save us. All of it was determined in eternity from the beginning. And God did it this way because he knew we were going to be obstinate. We knew we would fall, and he knew that. God didn't. He wasn't surprised by Adam's fall. He didn't say, Adam, if you eat of this tree, he said, in the day you eat it, thou shalt surely die. God declares it right here in our text. He said in verse 3, I've declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass, because I knew. I knew. Thou art obstinate, thy neck's an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. God's not a creature of time like us. What God knew from eternity, God knows right now about every one of us. What he knows right now about every one of us, he knew it from eternity. God knows all things. all at once. That's God, isn't it? That's bigger than me and you can even get our little minds around. He knows everything. Scripture speaks of him looking down from heaven, but it's just a picture of him knowing everything. He gives us, what do they call this, anthropomorphism or whatever it's called. It just means he gives himself some attributes of a man, the invisible God, so that we can enter into what he's doing. He said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. God didn't have to wait for the fall to see that and know that about us. God knew it from eternity because he purposed it all. He purposed it all. Now, that doesn't change the fact that Adam's fall was his own fault. He's guilty. That doesn't change the fact that our sin is our own fault. We're guilty. But none of it is a surprise to God. God knew from eternity. He purposed it. Before God sent Moses, we see it in time. When he called Moses, before he sent Moses, he told Moses beforehand, he said, Pharaoh is going to harden his heart. He's not going to hear anything you're telling him. And he said, and then I'm going to harden his heart. He said, even for this same purpose did I raise up Pharaoh. See, it was all in God's purpose. God knew, I raised you up for this purpose that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he'll have mercy and whom he will he hardens. Nothing new with God. See, he could say the same thing. Adam, for this purpose I raised you up so that you would fall and plunge everybody into sin and death so that I might declare my name and show my power in saving my people through my son. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks in religion that's so concerned about preaching man's responsibility that they just can't receive that. That God knew everything from the beginning and purposed everything that came to pass. But it's so. It's so. This is what he knew about every unregenerate fallen son of Adam. And this is what he knows now about men. I knew thou art obstinate. Your neck is an iron sinew, your brow brass. He said, I knew you'd deal very treacherously. I knew you was called a transgressor from the womb. But now listen, and this is where we need to, this is what we, me and you need to understand. God knew this about you who he sanctified and made holy and created a new man in. He knew this about your flesh and he knows this about your flesh now. By God creating a new spirit in us, we know it now. Look over at Romans 7. God said, I knew, and he makes you to know. And God's people know this. We know this about ourselves. We don't know it in the totality of it, but we do know this about ourselves by God's grace. Romans 7, verse 18, Paul said, for I know. God says, I knew. He knew from eternity. I knew what you'd be in your sinful flesh. But by the grace of God creating a new man in Paul, Paul said, I know. By his grace now, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know it. To will is present with me in my new man. He's given me a will. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. God said, I knew. I knew about that sin that would be in you. Paul said, now I know something about it too. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Oh, Paul, he's just excusing his sin. That's all he's doing. That's not what he's doing. That's a new man in which is no guile, being honest before God about what he really is. I'm sin. And when I do good, evil's present with me. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Unregenerate sinners won't hear this. they won't confess this because they got a spirit that's nothing but obstinate. Their necks an iron sinew and their brows brass. They won't hear this and confess this. Oh, that was me before I knew him, but now I'm not like that anymore. That's what they'll say. But you that God made new, he's made you know this about yourself. God said, I knew you'd be obstinate, self-willed, your neck and iron sinew, your brow brass. Let me ask you this, you that know the Lord, let's all be honest right here before God. You got a new will in you to please God and honor God, and if you could, you wouldn't sin, and you're longing for that day that you will be free from this body of death. But do you not find that there is also a man in you that is self-willed and obstinate? That wants to have his way? God says in our flesh we're as sinful as the worst unregenerate sinner in this world. That's what he's saying. And do you not find a self-righteous Pharisee in your flesh that knowing this in your new man will still end up and say things like this? Well, I wouldn't do that. How could they have done that? What is that? What makes us say things like that? That ain't nothing but self-righteousness. Just self-righteousness. Paul said, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever ever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. The more God shows us this about ourselves, don't you find that the more and more you see that everything that you would condemn in somebody else is in your flesh? It's all there. And we do the same things. Self-wise. We boast that we're self-wise. How many times have you said this? I knew that would happen. You ever said that? Well, I knew that would happen. No, we didn't. We're not God. We didn't know what would happen. You don't know what's going to happen next hour. I don't either. We have to say, if the Lord will, we'll do this, because we don't know what the Lord's going to do. That's what he says here. Verse 6. Thou's heard. See all this? Will not you declare it? Will not you confess it? So I showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. You didn't know. Men will say, well, I always knew the Lord. I always believed the Lord. No, you didn't. They're created now, God said, not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou should say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Why? From that time thine ear was not opened. I knew that thou would deal treacherously and was called a transgressor from them. What's this treacherous dealing he's talking about? What's this transgression he's talking about here? Taking the things that belong to God and the things that God determined from the beginning and the things that God works and the thing that God revealed and applying it to ourselves and acting like we had something to do with it and we knew it. That's exactly what he's talking about. But now, by God revealing what we are, we know what God knew, at least some of what God knew about ourselves. We can say Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We know this, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Has God opened your ear and made you know that? He has, when he reveals Christ to us. From eternity, from the beginning of time, when time had begun, when he had created time, God began to declare what he'd do. He began to declare what Christ would accomplish before it ever came to pass. He showed us over and over and over. He showed us because God knew, unless he did it this way, we would praise our idol. That's what he said, verse 5. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou should say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. That's what we'd all done, brethren. If God didn't save this way by divine revelation, by him doing all the work, by God making us to know by his grace and making you see. Now we can look in these scriptures and see everything God has done for us. He said it from eternity. He showed it over and over through the age. Now we see that. Now we have to praise him because he told us everything he'd do beforehand. Then he did it. Then he revealed it to us. And we say, truth, Lord. But if he hadn't have done it this way, who's the idol we'd have praised? Some of you sitting here, you probably never had an idol. You probably never had a little statue. Maybe some of us did, but even if you didn't, who's the idol we would have praised? Self. That's all a graven image is. It's just an extension of a man's vain imagination. We'd have praised self. Why didn't God choose his people? This is what the world says. This is religion doing what God said, I forbid my people to do. This is why he saves the way he saved. He said, because I knew this is what you do. Religion says, God chose me because he foresaw I'd believe him. What is that? That's a man praising his image, his idol, himself. Let me ask you this. How is it God says faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast? I give you faith. You don't have it unless I give it to you. How can God say that and that be true and it be true that God foresaw I'd believe him? God didn't foresee you to believe him. God gives you the faith to believe him. But see, that's just a man. He hadn't opened his ear and revealed this to him. And so that's a man saying, oh, my idol did this. God knew what I'd do. No. Election couldn't have been based on God seeing goodness or works in you. God said, I knew you'd praise your idol and deal treacherously. That's what he says he knew about you and me. So it couldn't have been what God foreknew about us. He said, I knew you'd deal treacherously. Praise your idol. From the beginning, God declared and he showed us salvation is only in and by his Son. Salvation is not of your works and mine. It's only in and by his Son, because God knew if he didn't save this way, he knew we would praise our idol self. We'd attribute it to us. God's election was all of God's grace, not to do to any merit in us, for this reason, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God's purpose from eternity to make Christ wisdom to us. And that's what we're dealing with here. In this passage, we're dealing with God making Christ wisdom to us. To behold, only God knew. Only God purposed what he would do. God worked it. God brought it all to pass. And then he makes you know by making Christ wisdom to you. So then we stop praising ourselves and we glory only in what the Lord did. Look there at verse 6. Thou hast heard, see all this? Will you not declare it now? I've showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things. And you didn't know them. I've shown you hidden things that you didn't know. They're created now, not from the beginning. Even before the day when thou heardest them not, before you knew anything about them, I did these things. Lest you should say, behold, I knew them. God says, I knew you was going to brag on your wisdom if I didn't save this way. I knew you'd say, oh, I gave myself. I studied hard and I learned and I came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. Oh, I started out believing a lie, worshiping a Jesus that's as worthless as a stump. But in a little while, I've elevated to a new degree of knowledge and I came to the doctrines of grace. God said, I knew that's just what you do. That's why I don't save that way. I came and made Christ wisdom to you to make you know me and truth. Go over to 1 Corinthians 1. You see, there's not any self-made, self-wise, self-taught theologians in God's church. Not in Christ's church. Why? Because by making Christ wisdom to us, the Lord destroys that in you. He don't completely destroy it in you, but he at least makes you know that's all your old man of flesh is a self-taught braggart. And he makes Christ's wisdom to you. But he's not going to have debaters and disputers in his church. He's made us to see our wisdom is foolishness. Look here, 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where's the wise? Now he's talking about in the true church of God. Now we're not talking about just the local assembly. We're talking about his true people in whom Christ has made wisdom. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He has to you that Christ has made wisdom to. Why'd God do it that way? This is what our text is declaring right here. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what he's declaring. I had to reveal it to you. He said over there, he said, I've showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and you didn't know them. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God said, I knew from the beginning what you'd be, so I determined it all from the beginning. I purposed it all and worked it in my son before I ever even made time. Look, none of the princes of this world knew it, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it's written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that now love him. But why do we now love him? Because God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Do you get what I'm trying to show you, what our text says? Look back over there, Isaiah 48. God opened our ear. That's what he calls. He opened our ear. Verse 8, yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened. You see, before your ear was open, he said, you didn't hear me. You didn't know me. Your ear wasn't open. Sinners make their boast that they came to God by their will, that they learned God, they learned the doctrine, and they learned. And God says to his child, to you that know him now, to you who he's opened your ear, he says, I knew that's what you would say. That's why I didn't let you come to an understanding of me by your wisdom and your knowledge and your will. You get that? That's what he's saying. The Spirit of God opened our ear. Remember the willing bond servant? They brought him to the doorpost of the house. They took an awl and a hammer, and they pierced his ear. They put an awl through his ear so he'd have a distinguishing mark now that he belonged to the Master. Christ said that about himself. He's the preeminent willing bondservant. He said, thou hast opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and to them that plucked off the hair of my beard. I did that because I knew, Lord, you're faithful. I knew you'd justify me. I knew you'd fulfill every covenant promise to me. And then he comes to you and me, dead in our sins, boasting in our idol self, and that we knew and we know and we brought ourselves to this knowledge, and he comes and he opens your ear and he says to you, you didn't hear me before. You didn't know. You knew not because your ear wasn't open. Now you know because of what I did in you. You know what men will stop doing then? Men will stop saying, oh, I knew. I knew. Men will stop saying, I didn't know a thing. I didn't know a thing. Lord, open my ear. Christ said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. He said, it's written in the Scripture, they shall all be taught of God. God's going to have to open their ear and teach them. And he said, therefore, every man that's been taught of God and has learned of Christ, Christ said, they do one thing, they come to me. Because now they know. Their ears been opened. their ears been open. See, when the Lord said we're his workmanship, you know, he said, he gave that scripture in Ephesians 2. I just said it. He said, faith, by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he said this, for we're his workmanship. That's what God's declaring in our text. I save the way I save because my people will be my workmanship. You didn't know? You was praising your idols? And I saved the way I saved so that you would know I did it all. You're my workmanship. I created you in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus did all the works. I created you in Christ Jesus unto good works, which I before ordained that you shall walk in them. What do you walk by? We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what he's talking about. He said that right after he said he gives you faith. You're his workmanship. He ordained this good work that you will walk by faith. So he did all the work, and he keeps you walking by faith. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court, will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That's what he does, willing in the day of his power. God saves by revelation. That's what this opening of the ear. He saved by revelation. He makes Christ's wisdom to us. He does it through the preaching of the gospel. And he declared in 1 Corinthians 1 why he does it. So that no flesh or glory in his presence. Where's the scribe? Where's the wise? Where's the disputer of this world? You know what all that is? You know what it is when men get together and they want to debate doctrine and they want to out-doctrinate the other one in what they know and how much they know? It's man glorying in his flesh. That's all it is. Christ said, that's not going to be in my child because no flesh can glory in my presence. They're not going to say I knew anything or I know anything by my understanding. They're going to give me all the glory. That's why, and he keeps us dependent on Christ. He keeps us needing the gospel this way because we see he did it all through the gospel. You see that? Think of the unchangeable love of Christ our Savior now. Think of this. When he says there, I knew you would deal treacherously and I knew all this about you. Christ knew this about us. About all the elect of God that God the Father trusted to him. The Father showed him his whole purpose. He knew it all in one moment. They're going to fall. They're going to be haters of you. They're going to boast in themselves. They're going to become religious and bow down to their idols. And they're going to reject you and despise you. And they're going to give themselves to glory. And they're going to try to steal your glory. They're going to do all that against you. And Christ knew every bit of it. And entered into a covenant with the Father and said, I'll do everything and save them. I'll do the works. I'll go and lay down my life for them, and I'll take all their sin of all their boasting and their bragging and their pride and their rebellion and their dealing treacherously and their iniquity and all their idol worship. I'll take all that sin that's theirs, and I'll be made that sin for them. And you can pour on me the curse they deserve, and I'll put every bit of that sin away. Not only that, Father, according to your promise, you'll raise me from the grave and sit me at your right hand, and I'll send the gospel to them in power, and I'll pray the Holy Spirit and send the Holy Spirit to them, and I'll open their ear and reveal to them everything I did and make them know I did it this way because I knew what you are, and I knew what you'd say, and I knew what you'd do. So I did it all in grace. I did it all so you would praise and glorify me only. He knew all of us. He knew us. He knew everything about us. And he did all that for us, brethren. That's unchangeable, sovereign, redeeming love. That's saving love. That's regenerating love. That's preserving love. That's, he still knows what our flesh is. He still knows that we, in our flesh, we would take the glory right now if he would didn't subdue our sin nature and keep showing us our sin and showing us his mercy and grace, keep us looking on at him. And yet he loves us everlastingly, unchangeably, unbreakably. My little children, these things write unto that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He said, I knew from eternity. I know right now. I know everything about. I know what you are in your flesh. He goes before the Father and says, Father, I put it away. That's justice is satisfied for that child. Let's show him mercy. And the Father delights in his son. He says, let's show him mercy. Let's be merciful to him. We're just to be merciful to him. That's why he tells you this. Whatever your problem is, whatever your problem is in this world, Christ is the cure. He's the cure. And he promises this because his love doesn't change, because he's known from the beginning what we are, but he's known how he'd save, and he's brought it all to pass now. He promises you and me, as your days are, so shall your strength be. Because he's your strength. He's your strength. Is that... We're going to see more of this as we go in this passage, but I just want to take that little bit right there and show you. This is why God does it all. Because he said, I knew. I knew. Let's go to him. Father, thank you for this word. Father, we thank you that you didn't leave a thing in the hands of your people. Thankful that you determined the end from the beginning. You showed it to us. You preached it to us. You brought it all to pass for your people. Then you came and opened our ear and revealed it to us. Lord, keep us from boasting in ourselves. Keep us from putting confidence in ourselves. Keep us looking, trusting, believing you. And Lord, this is what humbles us. This is what keeps us meek at your feet. You know everything. You bring us to where you brought Peter. Lord, you know. You know. How thankful we are that you knew and yet you loved us, and you loved us simply because what you would be to us, what you would work for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for revealing Christ in us. Forgive us, Lord, for our boasting and our pride, our sin. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.